gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For the reason why we are to do that, the reason why he was moved to write that, says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are to contend for these truths as long as we live and have our right mind or are able to do so, that they might be preserved for our fellow brethren and sisters that's coming along, that they might enjoy the blessings that we have enjoyed in having these truths to have and to hold for our very own, so to speak, by which we get the victory over the world. I believe James tells us that. And he says, who is it that gets the victory over the world? Even he who believeth that Jesus is the Christ. See, he's already got the victory, and if we believe in Jesus, then we believe we've got the victory, because he's already secured it for us, and we're in him, and chosen in him, and preserved in him. Then when we are called and we become acquainted with these things, then we hunger and thirst for them, and then there is this longing to know more, to do more, to be more like him, and to be accepted of him and in all that we do and say. And so this is how we contend for these truths. We have to not only back up our faith by our works, which are our deeds, because we could not be a good witness for Jesus Christ if we lived like the world and loved the world, and nobody could tell any difference in us than the world. And so that's how we are to contend for the faith. Not only perpetrate the truth, contend for it, and go where it is published and preached and proclaimed, but also in our daily lives, live in a manner that our witness might be believed by those that see us. And so that is part of our sanctification. In other places it said that we are to sanctify ourselves. That is, we are to set our part by coming out from the world and to have no part with them in their ungodliness. We're in the world, but not of the world. We're not supposed to be monks and nuns and go off and hide and not take a part in life. I don't think that's our calling, unless, well, some people are called to be single, and they don't need to marry, Apostle Paul said, and that's fine. He wasn't married himself. And there's nothing wrong with that, but the normal procedure for propagating the human race is to get married. And that's the original plan, and so that's there's nothing wrong with that. That's proper. And so we're not to go off and force ourselves to become monks in order to create a name for ourselves, that we might be admired by those that would admire things like that. But we are to follow Christ and to contend for the truth that he's given us, when all we have to do is to look around and see have since Christ gave his apostles this doctrine, how it is so quickly corrupted. And that's why Jude is writing this, and that's why Paul wrote it, and Peter and the other apostles, because there was those, even when they were here, denying that Jesus was the Christ or the Messiah, and did not believe the gospel. And it's of course we know that only those that are called can believe the gospel, that is, with the eternal call. No one will be answered the call of the gospel until they are called first by the Holy Spirit, because that call is the same as the quickening of the new birth that the Lord referred to. He said no man can see the kingdom of heaven unless he is born again. So that has to take place first, and that's what Jude is referring to here, the called. That's the calling of the Holy Spirit, not the gospel call. But the gospel call, that's what the gospel is for, is to call them that God has called, has spoken to, and quickened, because they don't know it, but they were sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and then when they call, and they are called, that's when they are quickened and become aware of their sinful state and become aware that they need a Savior. And that's what makes them believe the gospel. Because by the faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Being born of the Spirit, we have faith. And that by that faith, we recognize our lost condition. And so therefore, we flee from the curse of the law to Jesus Christ, who has fulfilled the law and has satisfied the just demands of the law. And I can very well remember in my young life that I thought the law was bad. I thought it was too strict. I thought of God as a judge. Not a Savior, but I thought of him as a judge, ready to condemn, because the law said, thou shalt not. Well, I didn't want to not. I didn't want to obey the law. And so there was a conflict, an enmity there. But then when the call came, I trust, at least I believe it did, I know my life changed. Well, then I recognized that the law was good and holy and just. Nothing in the world wrong with the law. The problem was me. I just didn't want to abide by the law. That's where the conflict was. The law was good. It was good. It would be good for society. It was good for me. It was good for civilization. It would be good for everything. If we'd abide by the law, how much more peaceful, wonderful place this world would be to live in. But we don't want to abide by the law. We want to do it our way. And what a wonderful relief when we by faith can see Jesus, who for us has fulfilled the law. He came and proved that the law was good because he kept it. He proved that it could be kept. Nothing wrong with it. And he kept it. And by keeping the law, we being sanctified, preserved in him and called, then we have kept the law. When God looks at us in Christ, he sees us as Christ. He sees us as never violating the law. We are made accepted in the beloved, the Apostle Paul says. We are made accepted in the beloved. Beloved, when we when the Lord opens our eyes to where we see what we are by nature. Oh, what a gap there is between the sinful nature and the holy nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I come to do thy will, O God. It was his delight to do the will of God. There was not a shatter of turning in him. In his life here as a human being for 33 and a half years, he lived for one purpose, and that was to obey his heavenly Father. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And he did it. And beloved, he was tempted in every point like unto we are, sin excepted. He had a real body of flesh and blood. And the devil tried every way he could, just like he did Adam and Eve, to get him to worship Satan, to follow him. But being holy and perfect in every way, he said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship God, and only him shalt thou worship. And three times Satan came at him, and he tried him in the flesh, he tried him in his soul, he tried him in his spirit. He appealed to every facet of our being, body, soul, and spirit. We're made in the image of God. And Apostle Paul prayed that you might be preserved in body, soul, and spirit. We can fail in all three of those areas because of our sinful bodies. And the devil tried every one of them. Every gate and every door he tried to enter in. But the Lord Jesus said, Satan cometh, but he findeth nothing in me. Nothing could he find in our Savior. What a wonderful Savior we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. A Savior that came to save, a Savior that did save, and a Savior that preserves them that are saved forever and forever. And there is never a devil that can enter in to that holy, sanctified salvation that God has preserved for his people. So we can rejoice and be glad and assemble ourselves Sunday by Sunday and any other time the occasion affords us to worship him and to praise him forever and forever. And that is our prayer, that the Lord will preserve us and keep us. Preserve the church here. Things look pretty dim for the church here at Reedsville, but God is able, does nothing too hard for him. So pray that he might preserve it and afford us a place to come and bow down and worship him and adore him, because he is God, and besides him there is no other. We'll publish the doors of the church open for the reception of members. If there's one or more that desires to join the church, we'll give you that privilege while we assemble together. What do we have, brother? 237. Number 237 is a hymn, and the doors open while we sing. And we'll strike the glad hands of fellowship while we sing. 237. Sing, brethren, when you're ready.
What we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often fall. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise for safety. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Yeah. It's gone.